Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Okay. My name is Jennifer Kenyon. I'm a member of the Health Determinants and Disparities Practice at SRA International, where I work on a contract with the Office of Minority Health at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm pleased to be here with you today to discuss a pilot study that informed an evaluation that we're conducting of the National Standards for Culturally and Linguistically Appropriate Services in Health and Healthcare. I have no relationships to disclose. So today, before discussing the pilot study and its findings, I'd like to provide you with some context by introducing you to the Office of Minority Health, as well as the National Standards for Culturally and Linguistically Appropriate Services in Health and Healthcare. Then I'll describe the pilot study that we conducted to inform the evaluation that we're doing about the standards. As you may know, there's a significant body of research that documents the prevalence of health disparities faced by many communities in our nation. And the Office of Minority Health works to improve the health of racial and ethnic minority populations by developing health policies and programs that will work to eliminate these health disparities. A critical component of OMH's strategy to eliminate health disparities is promoting culturally and linguistically appropriate services, which are known by their acronym CLASS, because that term is unwieldy. So CLASS is defined as services that are respectful of and responsive to individual cultural health beliefs and practices, preferred languages, health literacy levels, and communication needs. And when CLASS is provided successfully, then it's provided by all members of an organization at every point of contact. The idea behind CLASS is to help health professionals and organizations be mindful of culture and language when providing services to someone. Doing this facilitates effective communication and really lays the foundation for a trusting health or healthcare relationship, which can improve the success of treatment, and ultimately this can improve quality of care, patient adherence, patient satisfaction, reduce costs, and a whole host of other outcomes that really improve health. So to operationalize CLASS, the Office of Minority Health developed the National CLASS Standards. They were first published in 2000, and they released an enhanced set of standards in 2013. As you can see here, there's 15 standards total, and each of them really is an action step that helps health professionals and organizations know how to implement CLASS. So the standards overall are an important tool that health professionals and health organizations can use to improve their cultural and linguistic competency. The first standard is the principal standard, and it serves as a foundation for the rest of the standards, which are divided into three themes. The first being governance, leadership, and workforce. This theme emphasizes that implementing CLASS is the responsibility of the entire health system, and it really requires the investment, support, and training of all individuals within an organization, from top down and from bottom up. The standards in theme 2, communication and language assistance, cover all communication needs and services, from sign language to Braille to oral interpretation and written translation, and it also provides guidance as far as plain language. Thirdly, the engagement, continuous improvement, and accountability theme focuses on the supports that are necessary to adopt, implement, and maintain culturally and linguistically appropriate services. Altogether, the National CLASS Standards are intended to advance health equity, improve quality, and help eliminate healthcare disparities. The standards have been around for about 15 years, as I said, and we know that health and healthcare organizations are using the standards, but we don't know many specifics. We don't know much about the standards' use, applicability, and effectiveness to health and healthcare organizations. And so this is where evaluation efforts are paramount. They can help us increase the evidence base related to the standards and help us identify best practices having to do with their implementation. ultimately, in the long run, we want to understand how the standards are meeting their goals of advancing health equity, improving quality, and helping to eliminate disparities. But the first step towards that is to better understand the standards' reach and how organizations are using the standards. So the overall focus for our evaluation project is to understand these four elements that you see on the slide: how both individuals and organizations become aware of, gain knowledge about, adopt, and implement the standards. This shows you that the evaluation project consists of two phases. Phase one involves key informant interviews with a variety of stakeholders. We want to learn how did they first become aware of the standards. We want to learn more about their perceptions about how organizations become more knowledgeable about the standards. And we'd like to hear what they see as the anticipated outcomes of an organization using the standards over the long term. In phase one, we're also identifying a pool of health and healthcare organizations from which participants will be selected to complete phase two, which focuses on organizational adoption and implementation of the standards in four types of health and healthcare organizations, which are public health departments, federally qualified health centers, hospitals, and ambulatory care facilities. Phase two involves interviews with the leadership in selected organizations, as well as surveys with selected staff at those organizations. And third, we will conduct a review of that of all the organizations' websites. We will also be conducting site observations at a small subset of the organizations that we select. So basically, phase one focuses on individual experts' perceptions of the awareness, knowledge, adoption, and implementation of the national class standards, whereas phase two explores those same questions but from an organizational perspective. So the pilot study that we conducted and that I'll be describing to you was specific to the interview and the survey portions of phase one and two. Last summer, so summer 2014, we conducted a pilot study to assess the interview questions and the survey that we are asking of the stakeholders and the leadership and staff at organizations. We also wanted to gather participant feedback about the data collection process itself. And thirdly, we used the pilot study to complete an Office of Management and Budget review and approval process. Some of you may be familiar that any data collection effort at the federal level needs approval from OMB, so the pilot study facilitated that clearance process. The pilot study participants were nine individuals. Most of them had served on the advisory committee for the development process of the original and or the enhanced standards. And the nine individuals were invited to participate via email from our project manager, and all the invitees did accept. As you can see here, the participants were diverse in terms of their racial background as well as their work setting and work experiences. And the nine participants were evenly distributed and assigned to three different interview types, and a subset of the nine also completed the staff survey. The results from the pilot test really fell into three categories. First, there was a participant feedback about the data collection process itself. And second, observations from the project team about the same. And third, which I'll get into on the next slide, was the actual themes that emerged from the interviews and the survey data itself. So in terms of the participant feedback, overall, the interviewees shared that the interview process went smoothly, that the interview questions were clear and easy to understand, and that participation did not present an undue burden to their day-to-day activities. A few of the participants did express uncertainty in answering certain questions, particularly when they were kind of unfamiliar with the standards role and the standards use at their organizations. From the project team's perspective, we found that the pilot interviews were certainly informative, but we found that some interviewers were having to make real-time adjustments to the interview protocol in order to reduce redundancy in the interview or to tailor questions appropriately to the participant's expertise or experience. So, for example, some interviewers were skipping questions because they had been coincidentally kind of addressed earlier in the interview. And these types of observations and feedback that I'm sharing with you really underscore the value and importance of conducting the pilot study because they helped us adjust and therefore improve the interview and the surveys. So while the main focus and purpose of this study of piloting was to pilot the evaluation protocols, the participants in the course of the interviews and surveys did, of course, share insightful information about the national class standards. And I'd like to briefly share with you some of the major findings and themes from that. In terms of the purpose, actually all of the participants described the national class standards similarly, which was that they're a tool or a guide to help organizations improve their cultural and linguistic competency efforts. The majority of the participants also acknowledged the role that the standards can play in reducing disparities, although one participant made clear that the standards are only one solution out of many to address disparities. In terms of awareness and knowledge, in general, participants shared that they felt that public awareness of the standards is low, and this is namely due to a lack of enforceability and a lack of empirical research that has to do with the standards and their effect or their outcomes. The participants identified barriers to awareness of the standards that included a lack of widespread promotion, as well as a lack of integration of the standards to other prominent health policies, such as, of course, the Affordable Care Act. And in terms of adoption and implementation, participants really shared a variety of perceptions about that, but two themes did emerge. One was that almost all of the interviewees noted that the standards do need to be integrated into the mission statement and or the strategic plan at an organization in order for the implementation to really be successful. And second, half of the participants noted that prioritization was critical to the adoption and implementation of the standards. So in other words, they shared that at many organizations there are quite a few competing priorities, and that from what they've seen, cultural and linguistic competency efforts do not are not typically at the top of that list of priorities. And so those organizations are not really devoting the resources that would be needed to really address and provide class. As far as kind of in conclusion what we got from the pilot study and our next steps, as I said, the pilot study helped us ensure that the interview protocol and the survey were sound methods of measuring awareness, adoption, knowledge, and implementation of the standards. And they helped us further refine the evaluation instruments, which were subsequently submitted and approved through the government clearance process. And they're currently being used for data collection. So where we are now is we've begun the evaluation project. We're in phase one, conducting interviews. And we're excited about this project because we're well aware of gaps in knowledge about the public's understanding of the standards and how to use them. And so we want to address that by being able to systematically document the processes by which people and organizations become aware of and really implement the standards. Ultimately, we want this to be a first step in better understanding how the standards value in improving care and advancing health equity. So we're looking forward to contributing through these results. As I wrap up, I'd just like to acknowledge my team members, the folks at the Office of Minority Health who have worked with us on this project, as well as my team members at the Health Determinants and Disparities Practice. Godfrey Jacobs, our program manager, is here with us, and Anna DeColi as well. And in addition, we work with a subcontractor, a group of individuals at the George Mason University, and I'd like to acknowledge their participation as well. I do encourage you to visit our website, thinkculturalhealth.hhs.gov. This is where you can find the standards themselves, as well as more information about them. We offer a document called the Blueprint, which provides a very comprehensive explanation of each of the standards, including implementation strategies for each. And at Think Cultural Health, there's a variety of other tools and resources, including a suite of e-learning programs for a variety of health professionals, having to do with increasing cultural and linguistic competency in the workforce. I think I have time for a couple questions, but my team members and I will be available after the presentation as well. And you please feel free to contact us at advancingclass@thinkculturalhealth.hhs.gov with any questions or insights or ideas that you have about what I've talked about today. Thank you very much for your interest in this. And shall I take a couple questions now or wait until... Okay, if there are any. Yep. Yes, absolutely. I want to say about a year from now we'll have some results, but yeah, check back on the website for the information.